A very happy Sabbath to all of you from near and afar. We are truly blessed with our worship team this morning. Thank you so much. And I heard a rumor, or maybe it was Facebook. There are no rumors anymore. Everything's on Facebook. That a group of you attended a wonderful worship experience last night with the Hillsong worship team. And I guess about half of San Diego was there too. No. But I know that I've heard them sing before, and I've always been richly blessed by their music and their testimonies. You know, the Hillsong movement in Australia has along with other movements, spiritual movements, have really revived and reformed and revitalized that country. It's a beautiful thing to see God's Spirit working and come over here and share just a little bit here in America and spread a little bit of that good stuff around. While you were doing that, I had one of my favorite things to do, and that is to hold a little baby. I got to hold a little baby. And you know, it's funny, I've said this before, but we talk to babies differently, even when they can't talk back. But this is my second grandson, and grandchildren are different than children, because children, you know, when you're a young parent, you're all uptight and you're all anxious and you're all worried and you're all and you're tired because you don't get enough sleep, you know, all that stuff that goes together with bringing little ones into the world. But being a grandpa is totally different. And as I was holding him, he's only a week old, little tiny guy, 6 pounds, 11 ounces, then he dropped down a couple ounces and back up. Now I think he's going to really start. His mom says he's already grown. In 1 week? Okay, whatever. But sitting there, well, first of all, I had to wake him. Well, I didn't wake him up. He was sound asleep, and I just picked him up, and he kept on sleeping, which is really makes me feel good, so I didn't wake him up. But as I was sitting there rocking that little guy and just looking at him, just looking at his face and all those little details, you know, that you want to brand in your mind, implant in your brain, and little fingers. He always sleeps with one hand up here. It's funny. Even when he's laying, you know, on his side, he puts his hand up there. All the little things that you notice, I couldn't help but think. And do you think God the Father, just imagine with me for a minute, it's pretty hard not to be a hovering grandparent or parent. Do you think the Father snuck down a couple nights after Jesus was born and sat in the rocking chair while Mary was sound asleep and held his son as a little baby? I'd never thought of that until I was sitting there looking at this little guy and thinking how impossible it was for me not to see that baby as soon as I could see it. And I was, you know, in competition with my wife, which has a much stronger drive than I had. And I thought that was impossible, but she does. But, you know, God is a God of love. Amen? And I'm sorry, but I just can't help but think that God could hardly hold himself back. As it was, the angels couldn't hold themselves back. I mean, on the night of his birth, the doors of heaven burst open, and they just flooded down here, and they sang to the shepherds. And I mean, they were having a real party, a real celebration of the birth of Christ, the Son of God. I just think that God must have done something to assure that little guy that he was there. I got to thinking about, here is this little tiny, helpless. Humans are born helpless, really. We really can't care for ourselves for probably not until we're about 28 years old. But we really don't, it takes a long time for us to care for ourselves. Unlike the animal kingdom, they do it within hours of birth, and they're up and running, and they're pretty much, you know, on their own, in some cases, totally on their own. But it says to me how marvelously and how thoughtfully and how majestically and how awesomely God created man. Really. I look at that little guy, and of course I've told you this before, I counted the fingers and the toes, they're all there. And you know why? Because in our family, it showed up once in the last 150 years. My grandma had one, born with just her baby finger missing. Which, by the way, later on became a real blessing. In fact, Ellen White prophesied over her and said that because of her handicap, she would be able to do wonderful things. And it wasn't long after that that she became a midwife and was able to do things that the doctors couldn't do. She was in demand for babies that were breech. And those of you that know anything about birth, if a baby goes breech, not a good thing. But because her hand was very small, she could take those babies and turn them so that they could come out and be born properly. Isn't that beautiful? Anyway, that's a whole other story. I don't know why I just shared that. No, because it was important. We're talking about the fact that God created us for love. He created us for love. In fact, very clearly it's stated, Jesus himself said, God is love. And then later he said, if you know me, you know the Father. And no man comes to the Father except through me. The Father and I are one. By the way, this new baby, his name is Caden Elijah Munson. And I reminded his father and mother that he's our baby. Ours. Okay? He's your baby, but he's our baby. What do you mean, Dad? Well, you know, there's DNA. It'll all show up at some point. He'll have something that will connect him to me directly. I hope it's all the good things, not the bad things. But the point is that God thoughtfully, carefully created humans to love and to be loved. You ever thought of this? Do you think God ever was lonely? Do you think God was ever lonely? Oh, well, that's an emotion that comes with sin, really? You think so? Well, I have evidence in Genesis that it's just the other way. Turn quickly, if you would. And you know probably where I'm headed on this, but I want to remind you before we move on. In Genesis chapters, well, 1 and 2 is the story of creation, all right? And more specifically, it says that God had created everything, you know, and he said, you know, every time he finished doing one project, he would say it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. In fact, if you go down to the end of chapter 1, it says very clearly, and God saw all that he had made, and it was good. But there's one element here, there's one time period where God, I call it the clause or phrase. And it's where God says, he looked and saw that Adam did not have a companion. That Adam was alone. Now I want you to think about this. If we are created in God's image, and our emotions also come with that package, by the way, then that means that at times even God can be alone. Okay? Even God can experience loneliness. Because the first thing he notes about the creation of man, and he notes that in fact, if you go to chapter 2, take a look at chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord said, it is not good Everything else up to that point was, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was always good, it was good. Everything's good. Then all of a sudden God goes, uh-oh. And he says, it's not good. There's the not good. Oh, I thought God did everything perfectly. He does. That's why he said it wasn't good. He says, not good for man to be, and there's the word alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. God saw that Adam was alone. Have you ever been alone? If you have, you very quickly become aware of the fact that we as human beings are created to be with someone else, in the presence of other people. We are created to socialize. We are created to communicate with and to be in the presence of other people. Human beings were created to be connected to other humans. But more importantly, we were created to be connected with God. And all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the theme of connectedness repeats itself over and over and over. God is constantly trying to connect and reconnect with humans. In fact, if there's one theme that is consistent in every single book of the Bible, and you do it, you go through it and study it for yourself, God wants to connect with us. In fact, I would go so far as to say that we as humans were created with a gene somewhere in our genetic ladder or whatever they call that thing, you know. You've seen pictures of it. That somewhere in there is a gene that says, you need to connect. You need to be around other people. You need. Because here's the thing. I have observed in my own life, and I've observed in other people's lives, because that's part of my livelihood, my job in life is to watch and observe and connect and talk to people, that people who disconnect or people who don't have connections with other people become very stressed. It's interesting because there's been a lot of studies, and I don't want to go, you know, big into the psychological aspect of it. But the importance of being connected, the importance of people not being alone, is so important in England that recently they appointed a minister of, you want to guess, of loneliness. A job was created in the government in England to make sure that everybody is connected with somebody else. You say, well, all they have to have is their iPhone. They're connected with the whole world. Do you want to know something? Statistically, there's more loneliness today in this world than ever before. Statistics will show you. In Japan, it is actually, I won't go into all the details, but in Japan, as an example, we'll get to America, but in Japan, it's become an epidemic. They're calling it and they're treating it as an epidemic. And the sad side of the whole discussion is that there are people that are so lonely and feel so totally disconnected, even though they have iPhones and they have iPads and they have computers and they have the gobs of people walking down the street with them as they go to work, to come back home, they still are lonely. Interesting. Just because you're in a crowd doesn't mean that you aren't lonely. In the way that the Japanese government has gotten so serious about this, as like England, they have appointed people to oversee. And what really was the sad part of this is they discovered that people who were passing away with nobody there to take care of them had gotten to be such a huge epidemic that there was actually businesses that were forming around that whole going and finding these people that have passed away and nobody there to oversee, to even know that they passed away. Their entire business is to come and take care of that for the government. And so, it's in America, it has reached an epidemic status in America. The most advanced modern country in the world. And so when we think of loneliness, we can say, well, okay, well, that's because of, you know, people are too busy and they're all about, you know, making money and they're all about these other things. But it's not just that, folks. It goes way, way back. It goes clear back into, in fact, as I was going through and just kind of studying the topic in the scriptures, I came across a number of examples. Let me give you a couple examples. Let's take a look at one here in Psalms 25. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 25. Psalms 25 says, verses 16. Psalms 25, verses 16 through 20. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Now, this is David, okay? For I am what? What? I can't hear it. Okay, mine says lonely. Okay. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. David here is feeling so alone. Have you ever felt alone even in a crowd or in a family or at a party? You feel so alone. Or maybe you're just sitting in your living room and you're contemplating, doing some meditating on your life and your life experiences, and all of a sudden this wave of loneliness just sweeps over you. Well, if you haven't had that kind of a feeling, you haven't lived long enough, because I have that feeling. I've had it many times. And often the feelings of loneliness, we think, well, it's just me. Or, you know, maybe it's just the experience that I'm going through. Look at Jeremiah. If you want to take a look at another example, and I'm looking at the Old Testament right now. But Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, and I won't read the whole chapter, but if you look at here, Jeremiah is one of the prophets in the Bible. And you would think, well, everybody, you know, anybody that's a prophet, he's got to have a million friends. But as you know, that sometimes they were isolated. Even, well, look at Elijah and Elisha and the other prophets in the Bible. But if you look at Jeremiah, I can't seem to get this page to turn. Jeremiah 15. This is, then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not go out to this people. Send them away from my presence. Let them go. And if they ask you, where shall we go? Tell them, this is what the Lord says. Those destined for death, to death. Those to the sword, to the sword. Those for starving, to starving. I will send four kinds. And anyways, it goes on and on and on. And it paints a picture, okay? A very lonely picture. And Jeremiah, of all people, who's a great prophet and looked upon as one of the great prophets of Israel. And this whole story here is about loneliness. In Mark, Jesus, let's take a look at Mark. We're going to go to the New Testament now. I just want to give you some examples. Because, you know, one of the most important things when you feel lonely, or you're going through a phase in your life when you feel alone, you need to also, the first thing you need to recognize is that it is a human condition, that we were created to be in fellowship and companionship with other people. And so we need to remember that even though we may feel alone, the fact is that we're not. Look at Mark chapter 15 verse 34. If you have somebody want to read that. Mark 15. Yeah, some of you actually may have this one memorized.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Wow. Oh, wait a minute. Jesus. this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is the one that has so much confidence. This is the one who performed miracles, and the one that he heard the Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is the one who could walk on water, and yet he had a dark hour. Okay? Why have you forsaken me, Father? He felt alone in a world full of people. He felt alone even as his mother was standing there by the foot of the cross, and his best friend John and the others that were there. He still felt alone, because loneliness is often a place that we go to where we have many, many different emotions. And let's just talk for a moment about some of those emotions. First of all, I wrote down just a few for myself. Often when I feel lonely, perhaps I'm going through a period where I'm feeling negative. Maybe I'm depressed. Okay, you ever been depressed? Nah. I got a pill for that. Don't worry about it. Depression is a normal thing. Jesus, when he was feeling lonely, you can't help but feel depressed if you're lonely. It is an emotion. It's a very real emotion. Okay? He felt helpless too. He even told his father in Gethsemane, you know, this cup is too heavy for me to carry. Can you take it? Take it away from me? Is there another way we can go on this? And the father assured him that he would be with him. He would be present, would help him. Stress. That's another feeling that we get when we feel lonely. You feel stressed. You feel like maybe the whole world's against you. Maybe you know, there's some reason why you're lonely. Not just physically lonely, but emotionally lonely. Sometimes I asked a couple people this week, you know, what are some of the feelings, and describe them to me. And one person said, stir crazy. Stir crazy, huh? In other words, I got to go out and get busy. We figure if we stay busy, then we don't have to think about being alone. Right? That's how they described it to me. Another person said bored. Okay, they get bored. Maybe that's why they get stirred crazy, because they're bored. I don't know. But those are all emotions that we all feel, okay? And there's a couple. Well, yeah, bored. Yeah, bored. Bored is one I already mentioned. How about the feeling of, I had another list here that I wrote down real quickly. Make sure I get them all together. There we go. Okay, what about, those are all emotions, but what about some of the physical emotions we get? All right? Let's stray from the emotional to the physical. When a person is lonely or feeling alone. Well, we already mentioned stress, but how about lethargic? I always have a hard time getting my tongue around that. Lethargy. Where you just sit, do nothing. If I just do nothing, maybe I'll fall asleep and I won't have to think about this. Okay? How about stomach aches? Now I'm getting into statistics. These are some of the symptoms. People go to doctors, they say, well, doc, what's wrong? Well, I have a stomachache. I constantly have a stomachache. I have cramps in my stomach. I have indigestion. My immune system isn't working quite as well. Okay? I can't sleep at night. My brain is overactive, or my body just can't rest. My legs constantly want to move. I'm always moving around. My wife talks about that. She says, my legs. I've learned to go to sleep even with her legs over there kicking around. The dog doesn't like it. He jumps up and growls at her and jumps off the bed. But here's the thing. All of these are symptoms, or are results of loneliness. And these are all symptoms that came from a study that I read. Also, researchers found that loneliness can lead, now listen to this one, this is for me, the white-haired guy here, that loneliness can lead to early death. That's a statistic. You know what's interesting? In some of the homes where they have people that are bedbound or whatever, they bring cats in now, kitty cats and dogs. And the people actually respond and they do better. Their health gets better. They seem happier. They don't feel, you know, lonely anymore. So there you go. For those of you that love cats and dogs, There's one thing that can be very helpful, all right? They have done studies and they found that people that are in long-term loneliness often, it's the equivalent, especially in old age, if they're left by themselves, that it's the equivalent to smoking, tobacco. Isn't that weird? And it is this, and this was a result or a statement that was made. Loneliness is, listen to this, is more lethal than obesity. That's a study, okay? 50%, folks, and I want these to sink in because there's people all around us and they're everywhere, but 50% risk of early death. In fact, I know this to be a fact that I'm not sure. I need to study this a little bit more, but often if a couple passes, if one of the, you know, husband or the wife, one of them passes away, especially if the wife passes away, the husband will pass away within, you know, 6 months to a year for whatever reason. Well, loneliness is one of them. So when you have a family member, you have a close acquaintance or a neighbor or somebody, spend some time with them. They need to know that they're connected still. Anyways, I was very interested in all of this, but it takes us back to the idea that one of the things that we as Christians can do as followers of God, those who are connected to God, it's important for us to recognize that, to realize that, and to be part of helping others stay in the right framework of their relationship with God. When I say the right framework, that means staying connected. Connected with God. And that's why we come here on Sabbath morning. We come here to connect with God, but we also come here to connect with each other. And it's very important. Anyways, the comments that Jesus made, I think, on the cross are profound, because it opens a whole window, for me at least, into my understanding of God and my understanding of Jesus. And the Bible tells us very clearly that regardless of the situation you're in, and I'm paraphrasing here, He is acquainted with your feelings. I like that. It doesn't matter what I am going through, Jesus understands. A friend of mine a number of years ago, he passed away. Actually, he was a cousin of Aram Perez. You remember one of our worship leaders, Greg Cabrera. I knew him in college. We went to school together. We had a little gospel band that we did a few concerts together. He wrote some beautiful music, and one of the songs that he wrote, I still remember the chorus sort of in it, and the chorus said, I feel as though you're not there, but I know you are there. Do you see the difference? Our feelings are one thing, but our faith is a whole other element. We can feel lonely, we can feel sad, we can feel all the feelings that we were created to feel, but we also have to add to that that God's promised us that He will never leave us or forsake us. That needs to become branded across our minds so we never forget that. Even through the darkest hours of King David's life, he, you know, you've read the Psalms and you know that David said it pretty much the way it was. But then you read the 23rd Psalm, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's a pretty dark valley. And if you've had family members or friends on their deathbeds, you know, if you've been by their bed during that time through the shadow of the valley of death, you know that's a serious time. But what does David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow, what? I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence. And David goes on to to extol the promises of God and the love of God. And I just want to just say that this is a time, more than ever before in the history of this earth, where we as human beings, even though we think we're connected electronically, we need to be connected more than just electronically. And that's one of the reasons why it's so beautiful and so wonderful to be a part of God's little family and just, coming here and worshiping together and singing together and praising God together and knowing that God himself understands loneliness. And I got to thinking about this, you know, that as I was holding that little baby, little Caden, God had the vast universe surrounding him. I mean, we have no idea how vast the universe is. Only God knows how big it is. But it goes beyond anything that we're able to comprehend. Our telescopes keep finding newer and newer and newer as they go out further and further. Our satellites and all. It's huge. It's massive. And yet God loved us so much. You know the verse, John 3:16. He loved us so much that he was willing to show his love, to demonstrate his love by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. The passage of scripture this morning, I want you to take hope, I want you to take encouragement from this passage. Because Paul says, what I preach to you, I'm not ashamed of the good news of the gospel. Because it's God's power to save everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. It is meant first for the Jews and it is meant also for the Gentiles. The gospel, the good news, shows God's power to make people right with himself. Right with himself. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're experiencing, you have been made right. And you may say, well, what else do I need to do to be made right? Well, the bottom line is, if you're looking to become perfect and sinless, you got a long ways to go. You'll probably never reach it. But if you want to be right in the eyes of God, if you want to reverse that thing that happened in the Garden of Eden between God and his children, if you want to be right again, it's only through Jesus Christ, and he reminds us. The good news shows God's power to make people right with himself. God's power he made right with him is given in the person, what? To the person who is, what? Has faith. It happens by faith from beginning to end. It is written, the one who is right with God will live by faith. And by faith in what? By faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. By faith in his resurrection. By faith that he is, like I said last week, that he is not only our Savior, but he is also the one who stands and he is our judge and he is our lawyer. He is everything we need. Everything we need for salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Boom. That's it. Don't no buts and no what ifs and no additions to it. That's what it is. It's through Jesus Christ. Okay? And if you're lonely, remember that one of the things we can do is connect with God's people. We can connect through the Holy Spirit. We can connect through reading his word. We can connect through prayer, meditation, all those things that bring our lives into line with God's will for our lives.